As a regular listener to the podcast known as Break for Frogger, and having invested hours on end listening to them boys' inane drivel, I would like to start a campaign to change the beginning of Break for Frogger, and at some stage actually make them talk less bollocks and have that Geordie lad actually get his head out the 80s. Go on the internet and sign the petition, and we'll get it changed to make something bloody decent that you can listen to.
You seem to have a razor stuck in your head, Al.
Yes.
Any reason for that?
It's a game, innit?
It's like a robot unicorn attack.
I now don't even bother playing the game. I just put the option menu on so I listen to the song.
Surely YouTube would be invented for that. Anyway, at this stage in the podcast, we will of course be post my classy wee introduction, which I hope will be very, very amusing.
Possibly.
And fantastic. But I think this bit should come probably after that, but before the theme song.
Are we not changing the theme song?
What, from last month when it was Blockbusters?
That was the best one. Change it to this.
Right, it's Break for Frogger, episode 3.3. Are we only on 3?
Are you trying to make out that it seems like much more?
It seems like it should be more. It seems like we're too far into the year for it just to be 3. I suppose it is the
end of March.
But it's March, the third month of the year.
Yeah, I know. I know that, but...
We're not into Smarch yet.
But what?
Simpsons joke.
Right, okay, fair enough. No problem at all. As you can no doubt hear, I'm here with my broadcast colleagues.
Geordie Al.
Tom Oates.
Sadly, due to the fact we seem to have lost our headphone splitter somewhere in between Gretna and Carlisle, we won't be joined by Ewan directly this evening.
Is Ewan spirit?
We'll start and kick off, as we usually do, with the wondrous and highly original What You're Playing section. So, Al, I think yours is probably quite interesting this month.
Quite a lot, actually. Okay, where do you want me to start?
Wherever you want, mate.
I've bought a lot of games. I've purchased an iPad as well. I've downloaded a lot of crap.
The iPad debacle has resolved itself because it's sitting there on the desk in front of us.
It is. For those of you who remember the story of me getting it at Christmas for 400 quid and being a bit pissed off I didn't get Wi-Fi, decide ultimately to take it back.
Yeah, and your experiences in the Apple Store.
Yeah, but that's paid off because I would have been so annoyed if I decided to keep it. And for exactly the same price, I could have a superior model.
Yes.
I don't mind paying the 500 quid so much because it's a superior model to what the iPad 2 is, so I thought we'll get one done. But if I'd bought an iPad 2 and this had come out, I would have been very pissed off.
Yeah.
For full price at least. At least I've got my SIM card for it so I can get me 3G wherever I want, and I've got the Wi-Fi on it, and I've been downloading various games for it as well.
Yes, you have.
Robot Unicorn Attacks.
Finally!
I do like it. The theme song sells it for me, I must admit, that's what does it the most, but yes, Tom advised me to get it last year sometime, and my old iPhone would not download it, so I've got it on this now. It cost me 69 pence.
Hey, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
I'm sure that's
substantially less than I paid for it.
Oh, well, there we go. So I've got that. I also downloaded another thing I think we discussed last month, WrestleFest, I believe.
We were discussing the old arcade machine, and I think, was it not last month we received the news that they were remaking it, so this is the remake you've downloaded.
I've downloaded it, but sadly it's a bit pants.
It doesn't look quite the sort of thing you would expect from
the
legacy of the game.
It's that same thing I've complained about in the past with games such as GoldenEye, that they resemble very little to the old counterparts, but they just bung the titles on there to try and sell them, and I think that's exactly what they've ended up doing with them. Graphics are very poor, which you might be expecting with that sort of on an iPad. I don't know if the Xbox version is going to be any better or not.
Obviously, probably not.
It's going to be the same. It just seems very lazy, and the moves are very lazy, and the computer's intelligence is thick. We just watched a Royal Rumble before.
Yep.
CM Punk took about 15 minutes to eliminate the last man. And even then, he didn't do it. He just controlled the whole match.
It was Yokozuna.
Yeah, was it? Well, yeah, but he kept GTSing him about 27 times. And then, in the end, Yokozuna just won. But it's a bit of a... Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a bit of a... Just to sell games. And already, there's two downloadable packs for it as well.
Mm-hmm.
As far as old school, there's only four old school wrestlers on it. Only three of which were in the original WrestleFest. And that's the plans to obviously release the rest of them. But yeah, I just think the original WrestleFest fantastic. This is nothing like it at all. What else have I been downloading for it? Other than a few silly freebie games like pool and bowls and things along them lines. It's all exciting, huh? So I think the iPad and talk is a good buy. I do like it.
So you're getting on with this iPad lock.
It's brought me up to the 21st century.
It is. You've brought it into work every fucking day since.
Well, it's good for me dinner. I'm just like occupying myself on my dinner, reading stuff.
I notice you've got a wallpaper of Emma Watson.
Yes. You don't need any wallpaper paste to put it up either.
You like going for your Harry Potter posh birds, don't you?
Well, yeah. It's good with ones. Anyway, enough of this distasteful conversation.
Yes, it's very distasteful.
We'll get back to the games in total. But no, I think it's good because it's follow Twitter and Facebook far easier now than they ever did.
Yeah, you are actually responding.
Well, it's better that way. It's easier. And my phone's a bit old to do it. My laptop's certainly too old to do it. So I've got this now, so it keeps me company. As far as other things games I've purchased this month, I haven't played them yet, but I have purchased them. We're aware of the game situation, which I believe we'll go into later on.
Well, we'll touch on that later on.
But yeah, they do seem to be selling off a lot of stuff, so I discovered PS1 games for 49 pence.
But hey.
So I bought a handful of them. PS2 games, buy one, get one free for 49 pence.
Yep.
So I also purchased a few of them as well. And the big bargain for me was Shattered Memories on the Wii,
which I believe
we talked about before as being quite hard to get. Hardish.
I haven't seen it around.
Well,
we struggled. I don't know if you remember when we first talked about it back in season one. You and I had been struggling to find a copy of this.
I remember finding mine in Glasgow eventually.
Yes, in Hamleys.
It was in the game concession in Hamleys, I think.
Yeah.
But we had wandered about a fair bit to find it in Glasgow City Centre.
We had.
That was a couple of years ago. We were seeing the editors that weekend, weren't we?
We were, yes.
But yeah, found it eventually. So,
the cheapest one I had to find on eBay was £20, included, mm-hmm. with they had to pay postage on top of that. So I got it for £13, which I think sounds a bit of a bargain.
That's alright.
It's as good as you said it is. I quite like Silent Hill, so I might enjoy it.
It's an interesting proposition.
It's a flashlight thing, isn't it?
Yeah. You remote your flashlight and your joystick control where you're moving, obviously. But it is like a reprise of the first game, but it's done in some kind of retrospective because in between the levels, you are being interviewed by a psychoanalyst.
I do remember you saying that. Yes.
Your answers to the questions form
the stuff in the game.
The stuff in the game. Yeah.
The first game's, Silent Hill's the best one for me. I remember the most about it. So I'm going to enjoy this, I think.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. Don't play it with Emma in the room. That would be my advice to you.
All right.
Don't play it with Emma in the room. Especially since it's like, kind of, you know, there's a survey at the start with all those, like, questions, and it kind of, you know, it gets a little bit, you're flicking pages through, and it kind of goes, do you like dressing up during sex? That kind of stuff. And you've answered these questions. This affects how Silent Hill plays out for you. So don't play it in front of Emma.
Yeah, because I do like dressing up during sex, but just not with her.
Right,
yeah. That just threw both of us, I think.
There's no answer to that, really, is there? There's no answer to that, really. Anyway.
I like dressing up as Harry Potter. No.
Explains the Emma Watson picture.
Yeah, it does, really, doesn't it? It does.
Ron would make more sense than that. But anyway, we'll stop debating Harry Potter.
Yeah.
The majority of the other games I got for 50 pence was all football, all varieties of football games.
Because you collected all football games.
I love my old football games. So I got like Pro Evo 98 on the PS1, Pro Evo 2 on the PS1, France 98, which is one game I wanted actually, on the PS1. And I got, what was the other one on the PS2? World Cup 2002 on the PS2. And it was 50 pence, buy one, get one free. So I had to force myself to find another game for 50 pence essentially. I should have looked back now. Possibly you got Pro Evo 5, was it? No, Pro Evo 2009 on the Xbox was only 50 pence.
The next gen versions of Pro Evo have been a bit shit. They're better now, but I remember the last Pro Evo game I bought of the, you know, what was next gen back then, but is now current, obviously, was 2008, the one with Michael Owen and Cristiano Ronaldo on the cover, and it was appalling.
This one had, I think, a Barcelona player on the front.
It's got Lionel Messi
on the front. So I ended up getting This Is Football 2003, which I quite enjoyed the This Is Football series.
Sony's big attempt at being some massive football franchise.
2005 is the one I've got, and I thought it was alright. It's not brilliant, but it's alright.
Yeah.
I like its customising is brilliant. You can use the iToy, whoever's got one of them these days.
Why is mine then? Crazy idea of having a camera that just swans your movements on top of your console. Fuck's sake.
You can take a picture of yourself and put yourself on the character's head, so to speak. Which is great in theory. My idea is to get only Matron to a squad.
Mm-hmm.
However, you can do it. I think you can save so many of them. But when your match loads at the start, it takes ages to load every one of these pictures up. So when you're about to take, if you've got like five players in your squad, it just takes forever to load each game at the start. So it wasn't quite a good in practice, but it was funny.
Oh,
so that was my purchases for the month of computers. Oh, and also gaming, Gretna was closing down.
That hasn't gone yet. It has shut the doors.
Oh, it wasn't supposed to go yet.
It's not supposed to go.
No, because we asked for it.
I've not been yet, but I've heard it's the doors were closed.
Because we were in on Sunday, and it was the 21st of April. Saturday the 21st was the official closed date for it.
It's on the closure list for
possibly with all the stuff, it's gone. But they were selling off Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Right.
So I just bought shitload, like 50 pence a packet. It was good fun, actually.
And your girlfriend's response to this was?
She wasn't actually too bad because she purchased the DS.
Oh, yes.
Oh, sorry, no, she was going to purchase a DS from Gaming Gretna. Because they got all them stickers up there to take the counter to get a DS.
Yes.
To discover they got none left. They got no DS original DSs, no DSs Lite, and no DSIs either. So it's like, well, why have you got all the bloody things on the wall if you got the only one that hadn't stopped was a terrible pink one in shit condition?
No.
So she ended up buying the game anyway, like something mysteries, like it's a bit like Professor Layton, but probably a rip off of Professor Layton. Some murder mystery thing.
No, no,
that's alright, it's she'll enjoy it. So she bought that and we went in to get to Carlisle to get the DS itself. And we went in and we've talked about this before. Why do game accept trades for stuff that is just shit?
Well, did they accept?
The DSs that we looked at in game were
appalling.
Absolutely, the scratches on the screens, and the guy's behind the counter, it's not bad, you know, for a set nine console. No, appalling.
Especially with handheld. Handhelds are more susceptible to being battered around the place.
It's fucking appalling. What annoys me the most, though, is if they get a shit one, and surely there should be some sliding scale of what they sell for. Instead of one set price. So somebody's got a second-hand one that's in fairly good condition for 50 quid. I come along, because the only one they've got left is something that's been kicked around and stressed as shit. I've also got to pay 50 quid for that.
Yep.
So that's what I don't see being correct about it. We didn't. In the end, we went down GameStation instead, and they had three left, coincidentally, as well. And we took the best one out of the three, which is all right. I'm not 100% happy with it. It's like, all right, DSi, 50 quid we paid for it, 49. It was more acceptable, but the honesty behind the guy around the counter is just when I went, so how long's the guarantee on this? Because they're always guaranteed their second hand goods.
Yeah.
And he went, should be a year, but we might be closed tomorrow, so don't count on that.
Oh.
But as it happens, it looks like it's escaped that particular branch of games
at the moment. Yeah.
So we still got some, and I went to Emma when I bought it. I went, oh, it's a shame we didn't get it for game because I could put my points on the card. And the guy around the card went, makes no difference, we're all useless now. So, if you've got any points on your game cards or any money on your game cards out there, they're all null and void.
This is not true.
Are you not?
As of this evening.
Oh.
I believe.
You can write.
The reward cards are now back in action, but only against pre-owned stock.
So the semi, because I read, I think it was yesterday, the day before, it was saying that you couldn't use them anymore after that blog had told us. So they've actually reinstated them now.
Yes. You can spend them on pre-owned stock, but you can earn them from new and pre-owned.
Yeah, I can see why they're doing that.
Well, they've got to, you know, the overheads, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, are you done?
Yeah, I've. I don't think I've purchased anything else recently, at least played anything else recently. Done my iPad, there's one other game, I'll save it for the Emporium, and no, that's me also.
You're done, fantastic. Right, Tom?
I'm sure you'll be quite surprised to discover that I have pretty much just been playing a single game again this month.
Uh-huh.
And that single game's getting reviewed.
Yes.
In this podcast.
Would that single game be the one that is constantly coming up on your Twitter and Facebook account?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I must admit, I've been reading that on Twitter, yeah.
I removed Raptor's posting thing from my Facebook.
Good.
Is it tormenting on Twitter?
Yeah, it is. It seems to be that you don't use your Twitter account for anything personal anymore. It's just like your Xbox talk.
I sometimes do.
Well,
I respond to... I just don't like... Yeah. I respond to anybody mentioning me, but I don't actively use the account, really.
No. It's just...
It's my public... Yeah, it's my public face.
Going there, bloody, bloody, blah, Mass Effect 3. Bloody, bloody, blah.
All right, well, I'll sort that out then.
It's just... I'm not saying, you know, stop it. I'm just saying... It's just weird. It's just that's all there is.
I've been pacing myself with it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. You finished it all on a weekend.
I want the best out of it, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't see how. I don't see how people. I was just pondering this today. Actually, it's like they've got this whole readiness and military force thing throughout, so you can kind of meter where you're standing in terms of in terms of the ending you're likely to get, basically. Mm-hmm. I think. I just don't see why anybody would not fulfill as much of it as they could. It's maybe my mentality towards games, but I cannot see why anybody who would have one of those things and go, I'm just going to leave it half full.
I had someone the other day, and I can't remember who it was on Twitter or whatever, or some forum somewhere, claiming that he had finished Mass Effect 3 with a game time of 16 hours.
Right, so we just did the core missions then.
I think that was it, yeah. Must be.
You know what my game time is now?
It'll be something stupid like 45.
And then some. 60.
60?
60.
60 hours.
I've been thorough.
Right, obviously.
On this playthrough. That's the actual game time. I would estimate actual playing time as somewhere around 55.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been a couple of times when I've walked away from it and then got waylaid. But, yeah. It's somewhere between 55 and 60, the amount of time I've actually been actively playing it. I've been solid. It's the only thing that's been on, really. Apart from when you've been over.
Oh, but yeah, we played like UFC and things like that.
Yeah.
And Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
I have played, I've tried out another MMO.
Alright.
This game called Wakfu.
I've heard of this.
It is a tactical, turn-based, like top-down strategy MMO.
Mm-hmm.
Based on a French anime, I believe, or vice versa. Yeah. It's an anime universe anyway, but it's interesting. I'm not that far into levels or anything low down in terms of starting off, so.
All right.
But I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, awesome. Would you be in agreement? I know you've not reached the ending yet, so it's difficult to say. The campaign to change the ending, the post, you know, DLC. For Mass Effect 3.
It's ridiculous.
Is the notion that there's people out there who have played all three games and now are not happy with what BioWare has given them?
I think it's insane.
It's pretty bonkers.
What other game, if you'll excuse me for having a little rant, what other game would people do this for? I understand that it's because they've played X amount of hours, but you... I am going to take the ending that this game gives me.
They do it for Super Mario, because when you get to the end of a level, it just says the princess in another castle. I'd campaign against that.
I can't play against Professor Layton, because I told everyone what the other ending was.
You did, yeah. So might as well go ahead and change it now. Might as well go ahead and change it. No, I don't get people's sudden sort of, angst about it, because, it's difficult for me to say, because obviously I haven't seen any of the endings, I haven't even started Mass Effect 3 yet. But it seems to boil down to the fact that there's only three possible endings, despite all the choices you've had in the three games, and all of them are a bit doer, as we say around my way.
the way I see it, it was never going to end well.
No, there's that option. It's not going
to. I'm sure you can see that, even at your position in Mass Effect 2.
Sort of early days Mass Effect 2 playthrough, yeah.
The way that Mass Effect 3 opens, it's just... There is no way, in my opinion, you can walk out of this game going, well, everything's fucking fine now, you know?
Yeah.
It's no major spoiler, I believe, to say I've watched Planets Fall.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Throughout this game, at least three times. It's intense. And I believe I was trawling the internet, you know, as you do, using Reddit, I believe. And I stumbled across a picture referring, it said, for all those complaining about the ending of Mass Effect 3, I refer you to the words of another wise shepherd. Referring back to Shepherd from Serenity.
All right.
And a quote about how it's the journey that matters, not what happens at the end.
Totally.
Oh, yeah, it's off the film as well. It's something about the journey, not the destination.
Precisely.
Is that not He-Man the movie?
Well, with Courtney Cox.
It's Courtney Cox and He-Man.
Yeah, the film with Dolph Lundgren, yes.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that. I've seen it, but I probably just didn't know who Courtney Cox was at the time to equate it.
She's the girl from Earth.
Is she?
Yeah,
well, that's a good job. That's still not an exactly acting stretch for the poor girl.
Possibly not, but I quite enjoyed He-Man in the movie. People don't.
Yeah, I seem to remember the final scene where they're kind of going, "We never say goodbye. We always say good journey." Am I just getting that really confused?
I think it might be. No, I think you got that quote right. I'm very sure you have.
I'm pretty sure I got that
and
right.
He uses the key and he takes, instead of taking Courtney Cox back to the time she came, he took her back 2 weeks earlier before her parents died, so she could save her parents.
How sweet.
They died in a plane crash, so she got there, went downstairs, nicked the keys for the plane, and ran off. Parents were going, "That fucking bitch, what she done, she's ruined her holiday."
What he calls his parents in that film with Geordie?
Yes.
Right, okay, Christ. My God.
And she thought it was a dream, but at the end she had a little crystal. Not to give her as a present. She looked at it, and then He-Man's rippling body appears in it. I have the power. And then, no, it's not over yet. If you shift through all the credits, the very end of the credits, Skeletor appears and goes, "I'll be back." And he's auditioning for Terminator 5. And he ends up in the set from Ghostbusters 2, covered in pink slime.
Meaning he's wandering around New York hating everyone.
No, he loves everyone. It's the opposite, isn't he? He loves everybody.
It depends on what resonance it was, wasn't it?
When then he has a dance for the Statue of Liberty.
That's okay. Who's wearing Nikes?
Yeah, we may as well get on with your stuff now, Cameron.
Yeah, we may as well.
I think we've gone off on a tangent.
Yeah, it is a bit of a tangent, Yes, this month I have mostly been playing, and I'm glad I got into it now in a big way, because I was sort of... It took a while for Mass Effect 2 to click, but it has clicked at this very moment in time. And I'm really bloody enjoying it, really. It's all very, very good.
I said the same last month. I am chuffed that you were so into it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to immediately handing over Mass Effect 3 the moment you finish.
This is the advantage, yeah, because you'll probably finish Mass Effect 3 by the time I finish 2.
I reckon I'm 5 hours away, if that.
All right.
I don't think I've got much left.
Okay. But no, I am really, really enjoying it. And as I was talking to you about it the other night, the thing I like about the Mass Effect universe is that it's not like muscle-bound meathead space marines.
Back to He-Man again.
It's people you care about and you enjoy having conversations with them. And there's not one moment where there's like, there's parts of Mass Effect where there's a lot of exposition as part of the conversations. And at no point during those conversations are you kind of tapping the button going, yeah, yeah, yes, 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 yes. You actually want to sit and listen to it and take it in. And like, you know, I care about Garrus. I care about Thane. Miranda. I'm even warming to Miranda. She was a bit of a cold-hearted
Aussie
bitch.
Oh, God, she takes a while.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see the kind of thing you've got with Thane, actually.
He's just cool. He's just a really cool guy.
He is cool. I just didn't get on with him that well.
He's like a bloody... He's essentially a Buddhist hitman.
But then your femme Shep's a psychopath, isn't she?
She's a bit of a nutcase, and she likes her women, basically.
Whereas my white knight, Lionel Richie, was quite a tender...
No, it's...
Until he had his hair colour changed.
How odd. My Tilda Swinton-based femship is a bit of a nutcase, really. Who headbutted a Krogan the other night. just for the sake of it.
Hulk Krogan.
Hulk Krogan, yes. Hulk Krogan. Well done. Well done. That's brilliant. You see, I'm spoiling it a bit to go on about the missions in Mass Effect 2.
How old's the game?
2009, 10.
I think that's good enough.
Okay, fair enough. Right, we'll go with the Al method of it. But if you still have to play Mass Effect 2, bit of a spoiler coming up for the next couple of minutes. There's the bit where Grunt the Krogan has been tank bred, and in order to be fully accepted as a proper Krogan, has to do the trials. And it's the one with the Thresher Maw.
Oh, God, I love that mission.
Yeah, it's brilliant. But there's the Krogan on the planet who doesn't agree with the fact that a tank bred should be doing this traditional battle ceremony anyway. And so there is a renegade option during that cutscene to headbutt him full force in the face. And I did it. And there's this moment where he's kind of going, it is against all the traditions of the Krogan. How can this be? Because he's talking to the shaman of the tribe. And I was kind of saying, how can this be? And she's like, the thing comes up at the bottom of the screen. Yeah, put that right trigger in. And just the way Shepard just turned around a little bit and then just kind of went, douche! Like, proper Glasgow kiss. And then this kind of Krogan kind of steps back like, and they're just kind of dazed. And the shaman looks and kind of goes, I like this human! This human likes war! And it's just like, yes! Bring it fucking on! So it was great. And I thought first, because in the first kind of interactive comic of Mass Effect 1, I had chosen to shoot Rex and destroy the base that had the cure for the Genophage. And I thought, going on to a Krogan kind of planet, I thought they might remember that.
I'm sorry. You did what?
I shot Rex and burnt the base down.
Rex is dead.
Yep, Rex is dead.
You are going to have an extremely different Mass Effect 3 to me.
Good. But there was the... I thought going on to Krogan base, I thought, oh great, this is going to be a little bit difficult. And I thought, they're going to find out I'm going to be, Shepard, the one that stopped the Genophage, and they're all going to hate me. There was a lot of them that liked me, because I'd taken what essentially would have been, they would have done the same thing as a Krogan. If it meant killing their own for the benefit of a mission, they would have done that.
Okay.
So a lot of the shaman was saying that. It's like, kind of when a lot of the Krogans won't like you, but I do, because you took a very Krogan-like decision. Basically, you didn't let your personal feelings get in the way of a mission. And get in the way of war! So I was like, ooh. So when you're expecting...
Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Say it again, war.
No thanks. So, yeah, I'm liking that. Because it's like little intricacies, there's a lot of grey areas. There's not sort of... Although there's like a Paragon and Renegade, there seems to be a lot of kind of grey, shady areas in between as far as characters go and all this kind of stuff. And you can have some characters that are right, It's, and there's also a bit where, when you go with Morden and you go to find his ex-student who is working on a cure for the Genophage.
Malon?
That's the one. Morden thinks he's been taken hostage by the Krogan.
Mm-hmm.
But you go and find him and he hasn't. He's just working for them on his own free will. But he wants to find a cure for the Genophage because he thought it was really, really unfair. And Morden's whole argument is that it never was designed to kill. It was just designed to stop breeding, essentially. And there's that moment, there was a moment where Morden's going to shoot his ex-student. And I stopped him as a Paragon act. And then I went on the Normandy, went around the Normandy. Because I always do go around everyone, make sure they're okay, and then only save once I reach my own quarters.
I'm glad that you do that too.
Yeah, no,
I've become quite obsessive about it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of an OCD. I don't like saving on the Normandy anywhere else other than my own personal quarters. To the point where I wish I had a little animation of going to bed.
Oh.
But then I went and talked to Garrus, and Garrus wants us to go to the Citadel to try and find the guy that betrayed his gang, and he basically kind of went, one of the questions was, so what are you going to do when you find him? And Garrus went, I'm going to put a bullet through his forehead. And I found myself going, alright Garrus, yeah, we'll go and do that, that'll be fine. And then I walked away kind of going, why is Morden shooting a student wrong? But Garrus has now just admitted that he's going to go and blow a bullet hole through this guy's skull, and that's fine, I'm okay with that, I'm down with that. Why is there a difference? And for ages I was thinking, why did I just naturally first go, yeah, go ahead, kind of thing. So that was pretty cool. So yeah, I really am enjoying Mass Effect 2.
I'm extremely, without saying too much, extremely interested to see how a certain situation pans out for you with the loss of Rex and the way things stand with Morden, it'll be interesting to see how...
There was a guy on the Krogan planet, I can't pronounce the name.
What, the Krogan planet?
Yeah.
Tachanka.
Isn't that a wrestler?
No, it's not Tatanka.
You're just feeding me lines tonight.
I am, yeah, it's terrible. There was a guy on there who's actually in charge of his own tribe because I killed Rex.
Not rare.
Yeah, but he's managed to work his way up the ladder when Rex was stopping him. So, because as soon as Rex died, he inherited the tribe.
You are going to have an interesting Mass Effect 3 playthrough.
He really liked me. In fact, he was the one that really liked me. It was his shaman that was going on about making the Krogan decision to destroy the base. So he was quite chuffed. He welcomed me. I thought I was great. And then I headbutted his general. I thought I was even better. Anyway, yeah, that's me. The other game I've been playing, and I finished, bought it. Well, I spent like a lot of Microsoft points on like two games. It was mainly I Am Alive and Bastion, which I finally bought. I Am Alive I will review later on in this episode, so I won't really touch on that. Apart from to say I may have to rename it I Am Annoyed. But Bastion is incredible, and I really loved Bastion. For like the 4 or 5 nights I was playing it, up to its conclusion, I really enjoyed it. It was genuinely, genuinely cool.
Has Mr. Taylor touched on this before?
Yes, Ewan has bought Bastion and has played it, but that was a few months ago. But I've played it now since I've obviously finished it. I just really, really good. I like the way that everything works out with it. It's a good story. The narrating thing could be a kind of a gimmick on it, but it doesn't end up being a gimmick because the narrator becomes integral to the story as well quite early on.
Oh, that's quite good.
And then he becomes involved in events. So because your character obviously can't talk, the narrator kind of talks for the group and what's happening with, you know, everyone that you meet. And there's a lot of little interesting bits in it. The art style is fantastic. And I really, really enjoyed it. It's just a nice wee game.
Really. I do look forward to getting my teeth into it.
Yeah.
Because I've had it for a month or so.
Yeah. I remember
paid,
I was here.
Paid for and downloaded. Yeah, because it was... I've been waiting for it to come down in price, and then there was a significant offer on it, I believe.
It was half price sale on it, yeah. It was half price for a while. No, but it's genuinely good. It's a nice wee distraction. So as I say, you'll probably finish it within the top 3 or 4 nights. It's not long, but it's just long enough, kind of thing.
Okay.
Just like my penis.
That was one of the least subtle lines from you in the history.
Jesus wept. I mean, seriously, this is what we put up with, this. That's what your girlfriend said. Jesus. Yeah, but apart from that, Street Fighter X Tekken.
Yes.
Which I'll also probably review in this episode of the podcast. I'm getting quite busy. I'm enjoying it. So I'll say a proper full-on review to come. But one of the big shocks is everyone was kind of debating as to how well Tekken characters would fit into like a 2D environment in a Street Fighter art style. Answer, quite well.
I wouldn't mind a go at that one.
Playing it along with you, I'm not finding it bad. Don't get me wrong. However, I'm not finding the translation of the Tekken characters to be as neat as I might have liked. They look great. There's no doubt in that.
2D, have those been...
No, Tekken's always been 3D.
Always 3D.
So wouldn't it be better converting the other way around in that?
They
well,
are.
This is the deal. This,
they're doing doubles, right?
Capcom are doing... have now made Street Fighter
so
X
Tekken.
Won't
be seeing it in the game shelves anytime soon.
No.
All right.
In about a year's time, apparently, Namco will make Tekken X Street Fighter, which is supposed to be 3D. But the big problem with that is that they've, in Street Fighter, some characters have got projectiles.
Yeah, and you can dodge sidesteps.
And if you're on a 3D engine, you can just sidestep.
Unless they make them ginormously big.
Yeah. Like your Pete. let's not go there. That'll be bad. But yeah, I'll review that later on in the episode. The game, not Al's penis. I Am Alive nearly didn't make it. Originally planned as a full-scale disc release, it was deemed surplus to requirements and quickly taken off the release schedules. It was reinstated as an Xbox Live Arcade game, lower risk, smaller budget, at least meaning it would be seeing the light of day. So imagine Silent Hill's gameplay mixed with a bit of Shadow of the Colossus, but subtract the monsters that are an analogy for one man's sexual desires, and instead have people just being arseholes instead. 1 year after the event, which seems to have left America under 10 feet of rubble, one man attempts to cross the country to find his family, not knowing if they are alive or not. The game starts as he enters his home city, which has been torn apart. Within the first few minutes, you'll meet people protecting their own patch or food supply. It usually boils down to a tense few moments as you draw your gun, sometimes without having a bullet in it, to try and scare someone into submission. Supplies such as bullets are scarce. Every item in I Am Alive is to be savoured. The game certainly weighs heavy on the survival part of survival horror. It's an interesting setting and a fresh design, but it tends to buckle under its own ambition. Part of the problem is the game's attempts at simulation. You have both a health bar and a stamina bar to consider. Stamina drains when running, climbing, or breathing through dust of fallen buildings. Get close to the end of the bar whilst nearing the end of a task, and it'll never get higher than that amount until you find something to replenish it with. Essentially, your stamina bar may not reach maximum again for quite some time. I'm still unsure exactly what this is meant to represent. Asthma? A torn muscle? Whatever the idea was, it means that if you struggle on a certain section of the game, getting there by the skin of your teeth, you'll often have no choice but to restart the entire chapter, as it's pointless and impossible to do the next section with that amount of stamina left. You're given a limited amount of checkpoint restarts in each chapter. Run out and you're taken back to the start to go through it all again. For a game based on trial and error, I Am Alive seems quite intent to punish you for doing so. A vague hint system doesn't exactly help either, leaving you often wandering around unsure of what to do next. Progress is often a slog, often a repetitive one. I'm alive. I'm bloody annoyed, more like. The frustration of the jarring progress is nothing next to the frustration of wondering how good I'm Alive could have been were it not for the flaws. The art direction is stunning, with fantastic beauty seen in the wreckage of the city, and it's refreshing to have moments of violence break out during a generally serene atmosphere, rather than the other way around. If I'm Alive had been a little bit more welcoming and interested in keeping the player's attention, then it could have been something. As it is, it's more of a frustrating curio at best. Anyway, are we doing this wonderful middle section now then?
Well, I think we should talk about the game.
Okay, let's talk about the game situation.
Begin. Oh well, the sad news of the game closures has hit us all, which I've touched upon on my little what you've been playing before about going out of the shop and the people not being certain whether the jobs are safe. Apparently in Carlisle we're lucky, the two GameStation and Game have both been saved.
I was a bit surprised, they seen as they are only about 100 yards walk away from each other.
I thought one of them were gone, absolutely. But the one in Gretna has closed early.
Gretna has gone, yes. Which is a bit of a shame, because I like going.
I like going, yeah.
10 minutes away from my house, so it was kind of easy to go to on a Friday.
I did enjoy going. And we knew some pun would come up with Game Over. I did see it in the paper, I can't remember which one it was, but someone did use the pun that we came
up with. Obvious. It was too obvious.
It was.
Had to be done.
But, apparently, is it 277 stores have been closed?
That is apparently the number kicking about at the moment.
277 of the closure list, which I have in front of me. And if you live in Leeds at the moment, I don't imagine there's much options for you to get your games from.
It does seem to be Leeds a lot.
I think there's 5 gone in Leeds. Yes, 5 game stores have gone in Leeds, Games and Game Station. I didn't think Leeds would have been to Leeds, I don't remember it being that big.
Must be. Well, as I say, there's like 3 in the city centre of Glasgow, or was 3.
Oh, let's have a look at the Glasgow ones. 4 has gone in Glasgow, including the Hamleys one that I mentioned before.
Yes, that's long gone.
In Newcastle, my hometown, there's a concession in Phoenix, it's also gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the one game in Eldon Square and the game station's also gone, leaving just one game in Eldon Square left.
But here tonight, they're like, was it Royal Bank of Scotland?
Yeah, there's a Royal Bank of Scotland rumour going around, and apparently also the company that bought Comet have put a £2 bid in.
£2 full stop, or £2 per share?
No, £2 full stop. It's because they've taken on all the debts.
You take on the debt of the company.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So essentially they're spending £2 to get about, I don't know, £1 million in debt or something silly like that. So that's, but they're going to take the gamble, I guess, and try and turn it around like they did with Comet.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've fully turned comment around, but I think that I just think I probably outnumbered here because I'm old school. But I do think you need a game store presence on the high street.
Yeah.
Is everyone else for that?
I mean, as much as I have harped on in the past about using websites like Shop2, who are good for pre-orders, but I'm not paid, by the way, to advertise them. Just saying, there are other shops. I do value the experience of being able to walk into a game store, browse the content, look, referring to it in internet terms, browse the shelves, look through the games, make a choice, make a random purchase.
Yeah, on your dinner hour and stuff. It's even me and you, Callum, within our hour to go in and come up with something.
I also think most your big publishing companies, well, your Sony and Nintendo basically, not so much publishers, more hardware, need somewhere for the hardware to be sold.
Yeah, because it's quite expensive and such, like, it's a bit harder to sell. So you can do it online, obviously, but it's a bit harder to do it as opposed to in the shop.
Exactly. You know, sort of demonstrate hardware and midnight launches of aforementioned hardware. I've never attended a midnight launch of any hardware, though.
I attended a midnight launch for Newcastle United strip.
Someone had to.
Someone had to. There's bloody...
I'd imagine there'd be lots.
3 o'clock in the morning I got served with my shirt.
Jesus Christ.
I only had school the next day.
Oh, you insane bugger. But no, as hardware sales, I think it suited some of the publishers, until they stopped getting paid, obviously, to have a recognised sort of specific game store chain.
Because I'll just put a brief point I made to you before. Is this now a time for them independent gamers? Could they capitalise on this? Or do you think that's still...
No, you'd still get shafted.
Because what was the decent one in Glasgow called? That we like?
GeForce.
Yeah, a shop like that who managed just to survive.
It even has gone downhill in the last couple of years. So the last time we were there wasn't really anything enamouring. Really, and it was all kind of like quite usual, pretty close to a recommend retail price.
Because I like the ones we had in Carlisle Games X that you were part of.
Yeah, it worked in.
A decent shop, and we had the one in Newcastle was Granger Games, but obviously that's since snowballed a little bit to build themselves up to be a big chain.
Mm-hmm.
We also had an independent called Charlie's Games, but that sadly that went a long time ago. And other than that, off the top of my head, I can't think of any proper independents in Newcastle. We've got a lot of sort of pawn shop types that sell good games on DVD.
That's PAWN.
Yes, I think it's correct. The business sense of, well, maybe that's not the term. Yes, the second hand swapping of goods. That could also be determined as the other one. right.
How? I think game will probably survive.
I would like it. I don't like any shop going out of business. I think it's sad.
A bit dry.
Not only for the people who work there, it's sad for you know, especially in Carlisle, probably in other cities. The high street's getting barer and barer when you look. There's so many boarded up shops. It's getting a bit ridiculous now.
Talking from the perspective of my area, that area that I'm from, Newport, which is the closest city to my hometown, that's lost its game store, and that's just another blow. Shops have been leaving that high street for ages. It's turning into a ghost town slowly but surely. They're all retreating and going to out of town things, and that's just another blow.
Well, similar to what you said, the town now, born very close to Walls End, which is part of Newcastle, that has gone terribly downhill. I mean, it's got nothing. Woolworths went. Its Co-op went. An independent game store that's went. You know you're in trouble when your pound shop goes.
The Mass Effect series has been widely discussed over the past two seasons of Break for Frogger. Listeners will know that, although I was a late comer to the series, I adore Mass Effect for all its gameplay elements, its massive conversational trees, its epic nature, amongst other things. Over the combined 90 hours that I've put into the first two games, I've truly made the adventure my own, and thoroughly enjoyed doing so. In light of the blatantly obvious uproar that's been occurring online, it's unlikely that many listening to the podcast will be unaware of the disappointment that BioWare caused in making what the gaming community seems to see as a poor ending to the series. Obviously, I'm not going to announce any spoilers here, but I will seek to make a point towards the end of this review about my feelings towards the controversy. I started playing Mass Effect 3 right off the back of completing the final DLC for Mass Effect 2. The Arrival DLC rather neatly bridges the gap between the end of Mass Effect 2 and the opening scenes of Mass Effect 3. In fact, I would go so far as to say that if you consider the storyline of the series to be important to you, you should absolutely ensure that you play the DLC before you sit down with Mass Effect 3. Ever since I started playing the first game, there's been something of an in-joke between me and Cameron, as I inadvertently created what came to be known as the White Lionel Richie. I put a fairly substantial amount of time into creating a unique face for my Commander Shepard, and I'd grown quite fond of seeing it when I played. Imagine my disappointment then, when I started up Mass Effect 3 and began importing my Shepard, only to be told that while the choices I'd made throughout the first two games had transferred across without issue, my beloved Shepard had fallen foul of the face import bug that has become obvious since the release of the game. BioWare assures us that the problem is being dealt with a patch being rolled out in the coming weeks. However, that's of little solace to me. I consider myself very lucky again that I'd been playing my Mass Effect 2 game, and therefore had an extremely good idea of exactly what my Commander Shepard looked like, and was able to faithfully reconstruct his face. In fact, to a degree, I was able to amuse myself slightly with the situation, as I grade Shepard's hair and beard, claiming Reaper-related stress as the reason for this sudden change. No major issue, and I launched myself into the game thinking very little of it. After the opening cutscene, I was able to get back into the gameplay in a very satisfying way. The pace of the game feels a little faster than that of Mass Effect 2, with Shepard's running being a little quicker, and some further development had been made with the cover system. None of it feels particularly uncomfortable, though, and very quickly the game starts to seem familiar. The Normandy is back in all its glory, along with the good old galaxy map. Squad members have altered again slightly, and the very familiar gradually finding squad members and getting them to rejoin the team dynamic begins again. It's hard to say too much about significant chunks of the game without the risk of dropping spoilers. The game is just as massive as the other two and absolutely jam-packed with huge amounts of storyline, with a varied range of missions that can be carried out. All the encountered races show up again, including the Quarians, the Geth, the Rachni, the Krogan. Sadly, the Elcor play the same minor part as they have done throughout the other games. I'd like to have been able to see a little bit more from them, but unfortunately it seems we have to make do with talking to the occasional one on the Citadel and chuckling at their unalterable deadpan. A number of race homeworlds get their own missions during this game, which is excellent. I took a lot of pleasure from finally being able to see the places where civilizations arose. I will confess to being an absolute Mass Effect obsessive, to the point where I immediately bought the game's Day 1 DLC called From Ashes, enabling me to gain access to an additional mission, which was disappointingly shorter than I had expected it to be, and an additional squad member. I won't spoil the surprise, but he is well worth the purchase in my humble opinion, as the additional backstory throughout the game and his exceptional firepower and biotic abilities are a great addition to the team. I'm pleased to say that Mass Effect 3 was one game that I simply could not put down. I put more care into this game than most games I've ever played, and somehow managed to come out of it with a total gameplay time in excess of 60 hours. I was absolutely wrapped up in it and completely and utterly obsessed. I am pleased about that. In all fairness, I should probably broach the subject of the much-disputed ending, though. Firstly, there is no way, in my opinion, that the issue with the ending is anywhere near as bad as the overly reactive gaming community seems to make out. Yes, it was seemingly out of character for the series. Yes, it didn't quite fit properly. Yes, it was a little wishy-washy, vague, oversimplified. Secondly, there's absolutely no way that it detracted from the game experience on the whole. What I've said is as far as I intend to go with spoilers for the end of the game, but every moment of the game up until the last 5 minutes was perfect for me. And even then, I'm not upset by it. I'm just a little flummoxed. I'm pleased to hear that BioWare are releasing a free DLC pack that's going to clarify things. That is good news, because I would like to understand things a little bit more. That said, I'm by no means siding with the so-called retake Mass Effect 3 movement. I would go so far as to call that stupid. I'm totally satisfied with my ending. I made my choices throughout those games and I stand by them. And I refuse to let a slightly questionable final moment stop me from enjoying the final outstanding game in a trilogy that's absolutely defined this generation of consoles for me, and still stands as my favourite series of games to date. Mass Effect 3 is brilliant, regardless of what the consensus of the gaming community would have you believe. If you're still genuinely concerned about the ending, then hold off. Wait until BioWare release their DLC and then purchase the game and play it through. BioWare did not drop the ball with Mass Effect 3. They kept firm hold of it right until the end, where they stumbled a smidge. Don't be put off. It's still exceptional, and if you really value understanding the Mass Effect galaxy, rather than mindlessly blitzing through the game as fast as possible, I don't think you'll be disappointed.
It's with a great sense of disbelief that I witness Al preparing for his retro Games Emporium whilst tippy-tapping away on his iPad 3. It's a paradox. It shouldn't exist.
It helps me keep the books.
It helps you keep the books.
The Retro Game Emporium. I wonder if I get any more business now that Games get, you know, close some stores.
Possibly, yeah.
The Emporium might get a bit more business. Maybe. Well, the game I'm going to do today, or the series I'm going to do today, I don't think I've touched on this before. Apologies if I have.
Maybe you have. Who knows?
Possibly. Was the good old Dizzy games.
Of which I have minimal experience.
Oh, God. Tom said he played them before.
I played a lot of Dizzy games.
Oh,
yes.
Cool. Well, at least we'll get some interaction. the reason I chose this is because I downloaded Prince of Yorkville for the iPad.
Yes.
Which I've only touched on a little bit. It seems, the controls on it seem incredibly frustrating, not having the joystick, so to speak. You've got arrows on the screen you've got to press, and it pisses you off doing some of the jumps and stuff. But it looks alright. It needs a bit of time to play, but it looks alright. But apparently it's just a conversion of an old Prince of Yorkville game, also known as Adventure Dizzy, which I think they released on the NES, I believe, and as well as some other
companies. I had it on the Amiga.
The Amiga, cool. Well, it all started off, my Dizzy memories of my Spectrum. If anyone else know? No?
No, Spectrum.
Never had a Spectrum. I was Commodore 64.
It was on there as well, yeah. Commodore 64.
I am Amstrad.
But I don't...
Right, and it was on all these consoles.
In terms of remembering Dizzy, I don't remember having a Dizzy game on the Commodore.
So to speak, right.
No, I remember having them on floppy.
Ah, right. No, I was cassette kind of guy. The original Dizzy actually I had on a Quattro.
I'm just fiddling with your iPad. All right. It's all right.
On like a 4-in-1 game cassette, and it was a bit shit the first one. I remember the first one being a bit crap, and apparently he wasn't meant to be an egg. He literally was just meant to be a nice object for the graphics to be able to take, a nice simple drawing. And then
is that the same reason why Mario's got a moustache?
Possibly.
Because it was something to separate his body, like his face from his rest of his body.
I didn't know that.
The little sprite.
Well, I didn't know that. That's news
the only
to me.
Reason he has a moustache. It's because they could put a little line across him to separate his facial features from his body and
I'm thinking about that cartoon we saw earlier.
Yep, so that was the first one. My personal favourite was Treasure Island Dizzy, which he was stuck on an island and he had to get off. Apparently dubbed one of the hardest games. He only had one life to complete it with.
Really?
One hit. Not even a life.
Break. Is it harder than Demon's Souls?
I've never played that. Was that made in the 80s?
No.
Never played. No, one hit to complete the game is all you had. And although I have done it, must admit I have done it, but people said gamers today just wouldn't touch it because there's no save points, there's no continues, there's no achievements on it. What's that point in a game, eh?
What's the point?
So, yeah, you know, none of this going back to the start, but you've got to do it, yeah. And then the third one, the best in the series, people vote, not my best, but people's Fantasy Land Dizzy, Fantasy World Dizzy. No, that's the first
probably
one.
My favourite first as a child.
First one to introduce his family. Daisy yes. And Dozy.
And you just find them randomly standing
randomly
around.
Randomly scattered around and you've got to...
Bouncing up and down.
You've got to save Dizzy, save Daisy from the castle. And then the released Dizzy 3.5 as part of a magazine. It's like a little demo game, but Crash Magazine. It was it was quite interesting. It wasn't very long. Boom, boom, no. Anyway, but...
sorry. Just like your penis.
it was a connection between Fantasy World Dizzy and Magic Land Dizzy. So how he got into that situation. So prequel almost.
Right.
Then you had Magic Land. Now Magic Land is the, you had Excalibur in it. And that was sort of where I lost it. I never completed Magic Land. That was like where I lost interest in the Dizzy series. But I believe after that there is still loads of games like Spellbound Dizzy is one of them.
There was the spin-offs as well, wasn't there? You had like Quick Snacks.
Yeah, a hilarious fact about Quick Snacks, which I loved when I read it. Yeah, changed the spelling for the second release and for the copyright from Quick Fit.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was KWIKSNAX.
Yeah, but they've changed it to CK instead, so it wouldn't get copyright infringement off QuickFit. Yep.
Mental.
There's one called Panic Dizzy, which was like a kind of Tetris ripoff with shapes.
I had that.
Fast Food Dizzy.
I had that. I pretty much bought anything with Dizzy on it. My parents stopped taking me to the little independent game store in town.
Exactly. See, the independent one I was on before, in the in-shops, that's where I got all my Spectrum games from. It was fantastic. These little cassettes were £3, eh?
Yeah.
It was amazing to go in and get them. And the little loading screen would come up and it used to go, "Might not have turned around and driven," in some sort of ridiculous Spectrum voice.
What are you looking at me for?
I wonder why it's not been sectioned yet.
Anyway, the last Dizzy game, or at least the main Dizzy game, I think George Lucas must have stumbled across it late one night. Because it's on the front, it's got Dizzy with a whip and an Indiana Jones style hat on. And it's called the Crystal Kingdom.
I had that.
So do you think he looked at it one night and goes, "It's Indiana Jones, Crystal Kingdom? Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. That'll do for a shit movie, yeah, let's pull that out." It's so terrible, but you've got no memory at all of the Dizzy, no?
I used to go to my mate Ryan's house and play them.
He was...
But I never really had, I didn't have any on my own computer at home.
Because it was on the NES, busy. The NES had one, I remember that.
I was too busy playing Rolling on the Ropes, speaking of Indiana Jones.
Was that a rip-off from it as well? Or?
Pretty much.
Right.
It was like a little pixelated man who just climbed a lot of ropes and had to avoid being attacked by mummies in tombs and things like that.
Oh, sounds alright.
Well, it was forever running around tombs. It was a bit. If you imagine, it was Lara Croft's dad, essentially.
Right.
He wasn't as posh, obviously, as the standard Croft family, but I think it's maybe Lara's mom running all the money. After Roland was found in a tomb somewhere.
Just getting the rest of the names up that I forgot. There's not many of them.
It would seem that Crystal Kingdom was the last in the core series.
It was.
1992, I had no idea it was that long ago.
Well, the first one was 86. And I don't remember getting that. I think I got that retrospectively. Mm-hmm. But I got Treasure Island Dizzy when it was pretty new out in 87.
I remember getting Crystal Kingdom Dizzy when
it
was new.
I never had that. I said, I think I moved on a bit to Nintendo by then. I was getting a bit Nintendo-ish and Dizzy that got left.
That is mind-boggling. That's 20 years ago
since
the last Dizzy release.
There was something called Fantastic Dizzy as well in the core series. In the rippy-off ones, there was Bubble Dizzy, Dizzy Down the Rapids, and Go Dizzy Go.
Dizzy Down the Rapids rings a bell.
That's the other ones we got. And the compilation collections... one I've never bought them because I always bought mine singly instead. And there was also a Dizzy Christmas special apparently given away with Crash magazine in 1994.
Wowza!
So like I said, I think Dizzy great series for getting people into the game. Puzzles, a lot of puzzle.
Yeah,
maybe some puzzles stuff about that. I remember the Amiga Treasure Island being a lot different to the Spectrum version with a lot more puzzles, including the pogo stick and a fireproof jacket. And a boulder chasing you like Indiana Jones.
Oh, it was quite impressively good looking for its time.
Yeah, the Amiga
version. From what I remember,
the Amiga version,
yeah.
Because you had these like flies. If you touched these flies, it inverted the controls.
Yes.
And it was incredibly difficult to move. And you had to get your 30 coins at the end. To most games with the 30 coins at the end to complete the game and get off the island and Treasure Island. And you had to get various. Yeah, but I remember in Open Market, like a camcorder was in it as well. You got the camcorder and trade it into the shopkeeper for a boat.
Yes.
And stuff like that. And the golden egg. See, the golden egg wasn't on the Spectrum version, but that's where you needed a pogo stick, right, to bounce up to the sky, as you do, to get the fireproof jacket, right, to get past all the flames where you could get to the golden egg, when as soon as you got the golden egg, a boulder would chase you and you had to escape the boulder and then give the golden egg to the shopkeeper and he'd give you an engine. And the bastard didn't give you a key, though. You had to go give him something else to get the key to start the engine. Oh. That's kind of him, isn't it? I think it was petrol as well. You get four things so you get the boat at the end. I remember that. But that was my memory of Dizzy. And I think, I don't know, younger gamers probably don't remember it, but older gamers should remember Dizzy. the simple days of when gaming was young, and Spectrums and Amiga, Amstrads, things like that was there, and you had to sit and wait 10 minutes for a game to load, eh? Who would sit and wait 10 minutes for a game to load nowadays?
No one.
No.
But that's all we had back then. So that's that wraps up the Emporium. I'll dust off my Dizzy collection on. And the Emporium are now, if you send your game cards into the Emporium, we'll give you £2 off your next purchase.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, bear that in mind. I've got my
no
wallet.
No problem at all.
Regular listeners, and scientific research does suggest we have some, will know that I'm Brick for Frogger's resident Capcom fanboy. If Capcom have made it, and it involves two or more people punching each other repeatedly in the face, then the chances are I've spent money on it at some stage in my life. I'm not brilliant at Street Fighter, but I just enjoy playing it. Tekken, meanwhile, whilst having occasional appearances in my collection, was never really in the same league for me. When first announced, Street Fighter Cross Tekken seemed like some kind of April Fool's joke. Why, having mastered the 3D and 2D fighting genres together, would Capcom and Namco work together and combine their resources? How would a cocktail of Street Fighter's projectile attacks and Tekken's juggle combos actually work? Was the aim to attract Tekken players over to Street Fighter or vice versa? There seemed to be too many questions and not nearly enough answers, until release day. SFXT, as I'll now refer to it as for the sake of brevity, takes the engine and graphical styles of Street Fighter 4 and adds an extra two combatants in the match with the tag rules. One slight change to the usual tag match results in a round being lost if one team member is KO'd rather than both. It might seem odd, but it does encourage tagging, and not just wading in with one character all the time. The key to the success of the game would be the integration of the Namco bunch, and it's good to see that, with care and attention, the Tekken side of the cast have been given Capcom stylings and seem on par. It actually gets to the point where you forget some characters didn't originate alongside Ryu and company, as they're that well implemented. The gameplay does have some slight changes from the usual Street Fighter template to allow concession for Tekken players. Juggles feature a lot more. In fact, it's possible to launch an opponent skywards and automatically get your teammate to take over. It actually feels a little faster than your average Street Fighter title, and there's more emphasis on attack, but it's not that far removed from to alienate regular players. If anything, it makes it slightly more fun. The fun aspect continues with a certain tongue-in-cheek attitude. Witness Zangief and Rufus coming up with their tag team name and banter between combatants between each match. The storyline is once again utterly stupid. Something about Pandora's Box in Antarctica, but it seems to fit in with the general hijinks going on. As usual, anyone who is new to fighting games may be completely befuddled by the various combos and moves on show, but Capcom have tried to soften the blow by including the gem system, comprising of various power-ups that can be applied to different characters before each match. Separated into boost and assist gems, it allows either certain powers to be enhanced or other defensive arts to be handled automatically until you're used to the gameplay. The fear is that it would give some players an unfair advantage. In reality, the system is tempered due to the stronger gems having time restrictions, and the ones that hold your hand also restrict your strength in battle. So, this is Break for Frogger's resident Capcom fanboy putting his seal of approval on a Capcom game. You're probably really shocked. However, Capcom have won on two counts. Firstly, they've managed video game alchemy by linking two different fighting games into one package, and secondly, they've toned down the difficulty curve enough to introduce people who never thought about picking up a fighting game before. How exactly the rumoured 3D Namco-developed Tekken Cross Street Fighter will match up remains to be seen. Right, that's it for another month, episode 3.3. I'm trying to resist seeing in the bag.
It's in the bag.
He does it for me. We've had a bit of bother with the website.
Yeah, WordPress are not our friends at the moment.
Oh, what's happened?
It was something to do with, basically, an email that didn't get sent out on time. A lack of finances, really, that have resulted in breakforfrogger.com being a bit broken.
It's a bit busted.
So, the general plan... Sorry.
If you go to breakforfrogger.com just now, you're met with a message of something like, Deutschlandgruppe Sachsen?
Sorry, that was my fault. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, blame Al for the porn links that may be hiding on breakforfrogger.com at the moment.
Yep.
However, breakforfrogger.wordpress.com is still up and running.
Yes.
And the intention is that when there's a little bit more cash flowing around, and get it all back up and running. So just putting that out there now. If you're having trouble, I mean, most likely the people who are listening to this will be listening via iTunes, if you're not, then you'll have found WordPress.com or got to it off Twitter. So there's no real...
No. If you've been searching for Deutschland Gruppe Sachsen, and you have...
You may have stumbled across Break for Frogger.
You may have stumbled, sorry, to disappoint you.
Although all this talk of penises tonight, you know?
Not penises, just one penis.
A penis.
Anyway.
When I was growing up, I always wanted to be sort of, you know, like a...
A penis.
A penis physio. Is this such a thing? Jesus. Is this such a thing?
This is the other day.
Is this such a thing as a penis physio? Right. That's what I want to know.
And I said, do you mean like a male equivalent of a gynecologist? And you went, yes.
Just someone who, you know, rubs your penis better after injuries, pretty much.
Why would you want someone to do that? And how are you going to injure your penis? How are you going to injure your penis in such a way that someone rubbing it and make it feel better?
You might jump on a bike and forget you can move the seat. I don't know.
I've had a point in my life where I could have done with a penis physio.
What are you on about?
You think I'm going to talk about that in that much detail on a public forum? You can fuck off.
Well, you've kind of just...
I've alluded to it. I am merely supporting Al in his statement that this might be a useful...
If there is,
I'm going to back down off this now.
Like, it's not like someone... It's not like you would phone an ambulance and say, excuse me, 999, yes, hi. I appear to have broken my cock.
You might do.
Can we bring on the penis physio, please? Because they could rub it better.
I'm sorry, I've trapped it in a door. Can you come and help me, you know?
it's been sucked into my Hoover by accident. Can someone come and rub it better, please?
Well, there's incidents like that happen, so there must be a doctor for it. So if anyone's a penis physio out there, please email in.
Yeah, email in.
Please don't.
breakforfrogger@gmail.com Yeah.
Let's keep the tweets to Al for that one, yeah?
Yeah. Yep. If you're a penis physio, tweet @JordyAllen.
Hashtag penis physio.
If you're any other health professional or just a video games fan for that matter, you can tweet me at @RunawayBomber.
If you're just generally a bit lonely and you just don't talk to people often and you feel the need to just basically spout a load of shite across the internet,
that's why I talked to you, Cameron,
then at Cripple H would be the one you'd probably need at the particular moment in time. There is the generic @BreakForFrogger as well, which one of us will respond to.
Facebook.com/BreakForFrogger.
Yes, there's that too. That too, indeed.
We just sell ourselves at the end of every podcast, don't we?
We whore ourselves out. Next month should be good. Hopefully, we've found the headphone splitter by then. Because
Ewan could be with us.
Ewan will be with us again, because hopefully, if we can't find it, we'll buy a new one. But we've also I've invited him on. I've decided it's time for the gates to open, and Mentasm's coming on. Yes, Mentasm's coming on. We'll catch you next month for that one. Bye for now.
Bye.
Good journey.